Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin with Hashem Shir number 19, Shir for Women. When it comes to the construction of the menorah, there's a fascinating pasuk that says that it should be kulay miksha achas zahav tahir, that it should be made out of one unit and pure gold. So Hashem instructed Moshe that the menorah should be out of one unit of gold instead of components of various parts. Miksha is translated unit, but miksha also could be the word difficult. The verse can be read as there is one difficult thing. Kula miksha achas is one difficult thing. Zahav tahar, pure gold. Pure gold meaning money that is earned completely honest, in a complete honest way, is difficult to find. But when it does exist, it's like a menorah and it illuminates life. So money that's pure is rare. Most people who amass fortunes in their wealth, it's rarely pure. It's often attained by various deceptions and intrigue and ruthlessness sometimes, and sometimes theft, actually. So we may envy the rich regarding their wealth, but if it's in a dishonest way, there's nothing to really be envious about in a real moral sense. So that's the lesson of the menorah. Kula miksha achas zahav tahar. Of course, another pshat, which is the main pshat, miksha achas, is its one unit. It represents the souls of Klal Yisrael. The menorah in the Beis HaMikdash is connected a lot to the menorah of Hanukkah and the lights that are spread out, the holy Jewish souls, it's all one. Zav Tahar, the inner essence of every Jew, is pure. On Yom Kippur itself, we say, in the evening, it says that the V'nislach Kol Adas Kol Adas B'nei Yisrael Ki, and then Kol Am Bishgaga, their sins are unintentional. So the tzaddikim ask, what do you mean it's unintentional? We're full aware that we sometimes do things bemazed. We know we're doing something wrong and we're doing it. So what does it mean it's unintentional? So he answers like this, or Tzvi Hirsch of Zidditchayf. He gives a Melech Yosher like this. He says a mitzvah needs to be done with kavana. So before mitzvah, very often we have this hareini muchen mezuman, right? We're prepared to be mekayim the mitzvah of learning Torah. Hareini muchen mezuman to be mekadosh to do the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer, or whatever mitzvahs we're doing. We have that introductory remark. I'm ready and prepared to do that. So this tzaddik said, he turned to Rabbeinu Shloim and said, you never have a yid saying, I'm hereby hini muchen mezuman, I'm prepared to go to commit this transgression forbidden by the Torah. I'm going to go and eat chazer. You don't see Eden do that. They get trapped by their urges and they may fall into something like that. But to intentionally, in that sense, similar to the intent of a mitzvah, I'm hareini muchen mezuman to be mekayim mitzvahs, whatever, and you're going to say that by doing an aveira, no ye does this. He says, Rabbeinu Shlom, I swear to you that no Jew ever uttered such a preparatory phrase prior to committing a sin. Therefore, all sins lack a full intent. He was pleading for rachamim. And he's also letting us know, we need to know in our own consciousness that when we do things wrong, it's because we're misled by various types of temptations. We don't intend to commit a sin intentionally. Even the people who say, I know I was wrong when I did it, and I did it anyway, even then, it's still being duped by a Yetzihara that is blinding us to the gravity of that because of the desire towards it. Our true intentions are good. We don't want to do the wrong thing. And even in those times where we're saying, I know it's wrong and I'm doing it anyway, most of the time it's because of a desire that's blinding you, not because you really want to do that thing. That's why, in that sense, we're all unintentional. It's a very big Melech Yosher, and this is good to have after a sin was already committed and after tshuva was already done to recognize this. It was never truly, truly intentional. And you could give yourself the benefit of the doubt. And you could say there were extenuating circumstances. You could say that, and especially if you're judging others and you see others like that and you give them the benefit of the doubt like that, they went through hard things. They don't know better. They didn't have the chinuch, or even if they had the chinuch, they were in a rough matzav. And anyone else in those shoes would be in the rough matzav. We would have fallen into it too. I heard a beautiful, Torah Anytime, from Mordechai Finkelman, I think it was Parshas Vayechi of this past year. He had a whole shiur. It was really, truly beautiful. And he was talking about the Heyos Chavagidu, about the Achdus Klai Yisrael, the oneness of Klai Yisrael, and to love every Jew. And he said that even in those situations where you know you can't associate with certain people because they are doing things that are wrong, and you don't want your own children to be influenced by them in a negative way, so you have to say sometimes you can't play in this person's house as a child, or you stay away from this person because they'll influence you in a negative way, or they'll show you an unfiltered phone, or they'll show you a movie, whatever it is. And you're telling them to stay away, but he was very, very careful in emphasizing the way you do it. You could be firm. Stay away from these people who will influence you in a negative way, but out of love. It's not their fault. They just didn't have the background that we have. They don't know. They don't understand it. Whatever the reasons are. Not because they're bad people. We love them. We care for them. Halavai, we could be able to educate them to become better themselves. So I was very moved by, he was my 8th grade Rebbe, by the way. So, and I saw him as a head counselor for years and watched him. It's like a real walking, talking, wonderful tzaddik. But the way he said it really was moving. You love everybody. And even in those situations where you have to force yourself to remove yourself, stay away from this negative influence of this person, it's out of a love and respect and understanding they didn't know better, or they were in a difficult situation. What else could have they done? It's not their fault. And very often in the mirror, we have to look at ourselves the same way and turn to ourselves and say, we did the best we could under the circumstances. We have to forgive ourselves. We have to forgive ourselves. Hashem forgives us. We have to forgive ourselves and give ourselves the benefit of the doubt. You see, this is one thing, and we'll be messiahing with this vart. I heard this. It's a beautiful vart. When Yaakov cursed the anger of Shimon and Levi, he cursed their anger, not them. Them he blessed. Tremendous bracha. Mepharshim talk about how even the Ar Apam, the cursing of the anger, was a tremendous bracha, but he did not curse them, Chalila. He cursed the Mida, the bad aspect within them, to remove it and to channel it so that the bracha could come out. Same thing with Reuven, with the hastiness of Pachas Kamayim. And I heard a beautiful pshat. This is what Bilam said, Ma Ekoiv. I wanted to curse Klal Yisrael, but Ma Ekoiv, how could I curse Klal Yisrael, Loi Kabay Kael, if Hashem didn't curse them? And the Mepharshim say it's talking about Yaakov Avinu. Bilam was saying Yaakov, when he was upset at Shimon and Levi, Loi Kabay Kael, that Yaakov did not curse Reuven and Shimon. He just cursed the negative aspects to uproot it. So Ma Ekoiv, how could I, Bilam, curse Klal Yisrael, Loi Kabay Kael, that Yaakov did not curse, that have Hashem curse them, only their anger, the outside factor of their bad mida that they had to uproot, but he blessed them. So Ma Ekoiv, how could I curse them? Which means that Bilam was prevented from cursing Klal Yisrael because of the schus that when Yaakov was at his deathbed, He did not curse Reuven and Shimon. He only cursed Apam, the negative trait that needed to be uprooted. He did not curse them. This is a big Melech Yosher. We can always, like Beruya, the wife of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir, they were irritating him. They were upsetting him. He wanted a daven that the sinner should be destroyed. And Beruya, his wife, said, no, Yichtamu Chatoim min ha'aretz. The sins should be removed from the land. Not Chaitim, not the sinners. Remove the sin so they're not sinners anymore. That is what needs to happen. So we look at that. We look at the beauty of Klal Yisrael. And we're Melech Yosher. Miksha Achas, we're one unit. And nothing is intentional. No real, again, this is so true. People need to realize this. On the conscious level, a person could say, I knew what I was doing was wrong. And I did it anyway, and I was happy about it. But you turn to that person and say, oh yeah? Really? What led you to that point where you had to be in that situation where you said, I was happy I was doing this? Very often, it's because of some extreme difficulty or extreme temptation or feeling lost and all these other factors. Like Reb Tzvi Hirsch said, no one says, Areini muchen amezumen, like they prepare for a mitzvah. You say a whole tefillah zakah before Yom Kippur. You say a whole yiratzain before you do a mitzvah. No one does that before an aveira. No yi does that. And that's a melech yosher. Bracha v'atzlacha.